Well, as you're seated and find yourselves settled there, I invite you to take your Bibles this morning, and we will find ourselves in Matthew chapter 16 here momentarily. Gospel of Matthew chapter 16, and we'll be there momentarily. Of course, last Sunday morning and this year, we are considering being a church, being a Christian, that we seek to do things His way. His way in 2026. And one of the ways that we can do that and make sure we are doing things His way is to make sure that we are living by principles that He has laid forth for us in the Word of God. Last Sunday morning, we looked at the introduction to this series with a thought of principles for life and just gave some very basic thoughts for that last Sunday morning. But now this morning, we want to talk about discipleship. And unfortunately, to our detriment, discipleship is not often something talked about, not something discussed in our churches much anymore. And as I was going through this and studying it and trying to sum up the message in a thought, this is what came to me, and it was this. Just very simply, discipleship is defined by Christ and not the culture. Discipleship is defined by Christ, not the culture. And the reality is, this morning, discipleship is one of the most talked about, but yet one of the least understood words in modern Christianity. Many, when they think about discipleship and talk about discipleship, they define discipleship by church attendance. And while church attendance is wonderful and great, and you should be in church, discipleship is not church attendance. Some define discipleship as others by emotion. Some define it as appearance. Some define it as association. But Jesus, when we look at Scripture, Jesus did not leave any room and did not leave discipleship in particular open to interpretation. In fact, we see when we read Scripture that for discipleship, we do not need a dictionary, we do not need a commentary, we do not need a new program, we do not need a modern philosophy. What we need, if we're going to have true biblical discipleship, is a return to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in Matthew chapter 16, we see that Jesus, we find him not speaking to the crowds. He's not speaking to lost people. He's not speaking to those who do not understand him. We find that he is speaking to the disciples. He's speaking to those who already believed in him. And so by that token, we can surmise that discipleship is not even about getting saved. Discipleship is about following after salvation. Discipleship is what happens after you trust Jesus as your Savior. And so you're there this morning, Matthew chapter 16. Gospel of Matthew chapter 16. And notice there, if you would, we'll begin reading at verse number 21. Thank you. Verse number 21 down through, well, we'll go down through the end of the chapter, verse number 28. Gospel of Matthew chapter 16, beginning at verse number 21. The Bible says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of the Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily or truly I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. I want you to notice there specifically verse number 24, where Jesus says, Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For a few moments, I would like to give us some principles needed to be a disciple. Principles needed to be a disciple. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we do thank you for this day. And now, Lord, I just pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. May the words I speak be those of you and you alone. And Lord, may the message be a help, a challenge and encouragement to these your people. And Lord, this morning, if there be one here this morning that know not Christ as their Savior, we pray they not leave this church without getting it settled 100% sure that Christ is their Savior and that heaven is their home. And Lord, if there just be one here this morning that they need to hear from you, they need encouragement from your word, may they find that encouragement this morning. Lord, now meet with us in a special and real way. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to say those things which need to be said, and help me to refrain from those things which need not be said. And Lord, for all that you'll do, we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, the glory. We love you. We need you now. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Up to this point here in Matthew 16, Peter has just confessed that Christ as the Son of God. Jesus has begun revealing his coming suffering, his coming death. The disciples, because of that, they find themselves confused. They find themselves unsettled. The cross, as we know it, has not yet occurred. But Jesus, we see here, He begins to introduce it even before he gets to Calvary, even before he gets to Golgotha. And Jesus here makes it really crystal clear. He says here that following me will cost something. And it will cost you something. And so there are several thoughts I wanted to see this morning from this text. Number one, we must choose to accept the invitation to be a disciple. We must choose the invitation to be a disciple. Notice there again, verse number 24, he says there, if any man will come after me. If any man will come after me. Discipleship always begins with a choice. Jesus does not force discipleship. Jesus does not coerce discipleship. Jesus invites discipleship. Just like Jesus does not force salvation, he does not coerce salvation. He does not hold you under the water until you get saved. He's not a mob boss somewhere that's going to take you in the backwoods and break your legs somewhere. He doesn't do that. He's a gentleman. He doesn't force us to do anything. It's a choice. And we need to understand and realize that salvation is God's will for all men. Peter, the Bible tells us, God is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, not willing that any should perish. Jesus, God, does not want any man to perish without salvation. Salvation is God's will for all men. Not only that, but discipleship is also God's will for every believer. After you and I get saved, after you and I get born again, and we have made that choice to accept Christ as our Savior, well, now God, he just doesn't want us saved. Now he wants us to grow in the grace and knowledge of who he is. But both require a response. Salvation requires a response, and discipleship requires a response. And listen, many people are saved, but they never become disciples. And see, that's what we're talking about this morning. Listen, you might be here this morning, and you might be saved. You might be able to point back to a time in your life where you said, yep, this is where I asked Jesus to be my Savior and come into my heart and forgive me of my sins and save me. And that, according to the Scripture, he promised he would do. And one day when you die, you will go to heaven. That's a promise from God, from Jesus, from the Word of God. But are you a disciple of Jesus this morning? Being saved does not automatically make us disciples. You know, I've used the illustration a number of times that coming into a church doesn't make you any more Christian than going into a garage makes you a car. Well, I thought of something else here recently, in that when you get behind the wheel of your car, that car might be a broken down, barely running hunk of junk. And just because you want it to be a BMW doesn't make it a BMW. You can look at it and say, yes, this is a car. And you can say, it's a BMW. And people look at you like you're crazy, because there'll be some evidence of that car that that's a BMW. Well, likewise, if you say, I'm a Christian, I'm a disciple of Jesus, there's going to be some evidence. So being saved does not automatically make us disciples. Being in church does not equal discipleship. Being sincere does not replace obedience. I've told folks a number of times, you can be sincere, but you can be sincerely wrong. There are many good, quote unquote, good religious people out there, and they think that their religion is going to get them to heaven, and they're sincere, but they're sincerely wrong. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the question this morning is not, are you saved? The question is, are you following? Are you following Jesus this morning? And so we see we must choose to accept the invitation to be a disciple. But then, secondly, we must surrender fully to God's will to be a disciple. Notice there again, verse number 24. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Let him deny himself. Now see, this is where discipleship becomes difficult. The biblical meaning of this word, to deny himself, it does not mean a self-hatred. It does not mean poverty. It does not mean isolation. But what it does mean is it means that the self no longer rules. In other words, you're no longer in control. Now you take that and contrast that with the world and what the world says. The world says, follow your heart. The world says, do what makes you happy. The world says, put yourself first. But Jesus says, deny yourself, surrender your will, and submit to God's authority. Man, you talk about two opposing views. I mean, if there were ever views that butted heads, those are views that butt heads. But Romans 12:1, the Bible says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know the problem with a living sacrifice? When you put it on the altar, it wants to move. It wants to wiggle. Listen, I remember one year our youth pastor, he was given an illustration, and he had one of the kids come up. He cleared off the Lord's Supper table, and he had the kid lay on the Lord's Supper table, and then he pulled out the biggest butcher knife he could find. And listen, no one for a second, or at least I don't think no one for a second, thought he was actually going to take that knife and plunge it through that kid's chest. No one thought that. But oh boy, that kid sure thought so. And that kid, I mean, he popped up so fast you thought there was ants in his pants or he was on fire or something, because he saw that knife come out, he popped up and he ran behind one of the pews and he said, And Pastor Joe, he was teaching on, you know, the sacrifice of,
Abraham.
Thank you. But that's a problem. You know, anyone, if I were to call anybody up and say, okay, lay down here and let me cut you up a little bit. You're going to squirm and move and all the rest. Well, that's the problem with living sacrifice. Listen, we want to give our lives to God, but we still want just enough wiggle room to do things our way. But see, here's the application this morning. A disciple does not ask, well, what do I want? Rather, they ask, what does God want? What does God want? True joy is found in surrender. True joy is found in surrender, not self-promotion. We must accept the invitation. We must surrender. Then thirdly this morning, we must be willing to identify with Christ. We must be willing to identify with Christ. Notice again, verse number 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. And take up his cross. This statement, take up his cross, would have shocked the disciples. We all know the context of the cross. We all know what crucifixion was. Crucifixion was brutal. It was humiliating. It was public. And it was reserved for criminals. The last of which Jesus was not. Jesus was not a criminal. And to carry that cross meant that you were rejected. To carry that cross meant shame. To carry that cross meant suffering. And to carry that cross meant you were identifying with death. And so when Jesus says here, take up your cross, he was telling them, if you want to follow me, then you must die to self. And again, up to this point, Jesus had not yet been crucified. But everybody knew what the cross meant. Take your Bibles, keep your finger there in Matthew, and go over to Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And notice there, beginning at verse number 10. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 10. The Bible says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Oh, that sounds good, doesn't it? To know Jesus, to know the power that is in his resurrection, and there is power in his resurrection. But then, notice the last part of verse number 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. The fellowship of his sufferings. You see, this morning, taking up the cross is not about convenience. It's not even about inconvenience. It's about identification. It means that you are identifying with Jesus. That you are identifying with Christ. And listen, this morning, to identify with Christ, to identify with Jesus, especially in this day and age, means that you may be mocked, you may be rejected, you may be misunderstood, but you are never alone. The cross is heavy, but Christ walks with us. The Bible tells us his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And then fourthly this morning, we see we must be willing to follow Christ daily. We must be willing to follow Christ daily. Verse number 24 again. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, the word follow there means to accompany, to walk the same road, to go where he goes. Amos 3:3, the Bible says, can two walk together except they be agreed? That means this morning you cannot follow Christ and follow the world. You cannot walk his road and walk another. You cannot sit on a fence and have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. Eventually, you're going to have to make a decision on what's important to you. Is it Christ? Is it the church? Or is it the world? Many people speak of discipleship, but they do not walk with Jesus. But fellowship without obedience is not fellowship at all. Now listen, that's not to say that we'll always obey. Because sometimes we don't always obey. But we should obey more often than not. So what does this mean? Follow me. Simple. That means Christ chooses the road. I was watching a YouTube video yesterday after we got home or Friday, I forget which it was. I think it was yesterday, but the gist of the video was that this guy, this fellow on YouTube, he was having AI automate a different part of his life every day. And so one day, the AI said, today, you have to let your car drive itself for the whole day. And so he has a Tesla, and the Tesla can drive itself and so forth. And so he one of the parts in the video, he's having the Tesla's driving, and apparently it was taking him down what he called a very sketchy road. And he said, yep, nope, turning this off. I'm not following I'm not letting the Tesla take me down this road. Listen, God never takes us down any sketchy roads, but a lot of times when God tries to take us down certain roads, we try to turn off the guidance system. And we try to say, God, no, I don't want to go down that road. But God, Christ, chooses the roads. Christ sets the direction. Christ determines the pace. And the disciple follows even when the road is lonely. And sometimes on the road of following Christ and following Jesus and following God, sometimes that road is very lonely. But then fifthly and finally this morning, we see discipleship involves sacrifice, but produces fellowship. Discipleship involves sacrifice, but produces fellowship. The disciples, we know, they faced storms. They faced persecution. They faced rejection. They faced being martyred. And yet none of it was enough to make them regret or renounce following Christ. And what about us? Oh, I got a hangnail this morning. Don't think I can make it to church. What? And then after the resurrection, after Jesus resurrected, after he ascended, every disciple continued in the gospel, endured suffering, and they counted it worth it. And so we need to know this morning that the cost is real. The sacrifice is real. But so is the fellowship. And listen, the benefits, they're out of this world if we'll follow Christ this morning. Nothing compares to walking with Christ in dark days. I once heard a preacher put it this way. He said, for some people, this world is the only heaven that they'll know. And for some people, this world is the only hell that they'll know. For us as Christians, this is the only hell that we'll know. The bad things that happen, the sickness, the pain, the sorrow, and so forth and so on. But we don't walk it alone. We have Christ there with us each step of the way. And so the question we have to ask ourselves this morning is, have you answered the call? Because Jesus still says, follow me. Today he still says, follow me. The sad truth is, not everyone answers. The sad truth is, not everyone surrenders. The sad truth is, not everyone denies self. But to those who do, they find purpose, they find peace, they find fellowship, and then one day, they find eternal reward. Take up your cross and follow me. Are you following him here this morning? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand together at our feet.